Britain.
Capital markets. London not cooling. Questions grow over the future of the London stock market.
The London Stock Exchange, the LSE, is shrinking. The decline of one of the world's oldest stock markets has been underway for a while, but recently the pace of exits has been accelerating. More than 20 listed companies are facing acquisition bids. Firms with a market cap of around £100 billion, or $125 billion, could delist from the LSE as a result of pending and proposed deals. If this downward trend were to continue, small-cap firms, those which are valued between $300 million and $2 billion, could be gone from the exchange by 2028, according to Peel Hunt, an investment bank. Larger firms are also causing alarm. 12 companies being targeted by would-be acquirers are in the FTSE 350, the 350 largest companies on the exchange, compared with just 2 last year. Some of the exodus is being driven by private equity. The latest takeover is by Thoma Bravo, an American private equity firm which on April 26th agreed on a £4.3 billion deal for Darktrace, a cybersecurity firm. Other listed companies are being hunted by rivals. Anglo-American, a London-listed miner, is the subject of a £31 billion hostile takeover bid from BHP, an Australian mining company. That would deal a blow to London's reputation as a centre for natural resources companies. BHP has until May 22nd to lodge a formal bid. Some firms are simply asking whether it makes sense to move to a different venue that can offer higher valuations, a deeper pool of investors and proximity to important markets. Shell, an oil giant, says it has considered leaving. Unilever is likely to list its ice cream business in Amsterdam. In February, TUI, Europe's largest travel company, abandoned the LSE in favour of a sole listing in Frankfurt. Investors, too, are keen to trade London's miners, tobacco firms and stodgy old economy businesses for more exciting tech stocks elsewhere. Changes in accounting standards and regulation have helped drive domestic pension funds and insurers into lower-risk assets such as bonds and out of British equity markets. They own 4% of shares in London-listed firms, down from 52% in 1993. As listed firms leave, the pipeline of new joiners to take their place looks thin. Arm, a British chipmaker, and CVC, a private equity firm that owns a stake in the Six Nations rugby competition, are among the firms to have chosen to float their shares elsewhere. Last year, 23 companies floated their shares on London stock market, down from a peak of 136 in 2014. Stock exchanges everywhere are becoming smaller. So far this year, global public equity markets have shrunk by a net $120 billion because of delistings, three times the amount taken out in all of 2023. Alternative sources of capital, such as private equity or venture capital, mean that firms are staying private for longer or opting out of public markets altogether. America's stock market has almost half the number of companies it did 3 decades ago. Germany has shed more than 2/5 of its public companies since 2007. But Britain's decline is more entrenched and is notable, too, for the plummeting value of its stocks. The total market capitalisation of London-listed firms has fallen from $4.3 trillion in 2007 to around $3 trillion this year. In contrast, the value of American stocks has trebled to more than $50 trillion over the same period. London still has its attractions. Jeremy Hunt, Britain's Chancellor, is courting Shein, an online fast fashion group headquartered in Singapore, which is considering a listing in London. Mytilineos, a Greek energy firm, is thinking of moving its listing from Athens to the city. Not being American can work. Several Chinese companies have chosen the Swiss stock market to raise capital in response to political tension between the governments in Beijing and Washington, D.C. But reversing the exchange's long-term decline will be difficult. The options to merge with a rival exchange have narrowed sharply. Brexit has not helped London's attractiveness as a financial centre. The government has proposed measures to boost the flow of funds, including refining stamp duty rules on share purchases, consolidating pension funds, and introducing an extra tax-free annual allowance to invest in local firms. Some of these reforms are sensible. Some come close to protectionism. None is likely to hold back the tide.